We're going to finish up this chapter. We've been looking at it for the last month and a half or so. Been looking at the Good Shepherd. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. And last week we looked at the power of the Good Shepherd and how he is powerful to save. He doesn't lose any of his sheep. Once you are saved, you're always saved. You stay saved forever. He gives you eternal life, and he brings you on home to glory, and he is a powerful shepherd. Salvation is in the hands of God. It is not in our hands, and that's why we have eternal security, because it is in the hands of God. This morning, we're going to look at the last aspect of the Good Shepherd, and we want to look at the supremacy of the Good Shepherd. The supremacy of the Good Shepherd, and will his supremacy ever be overthrown? That's the question that we want to answer this morning. Is someone going to be able to overthrow the supremacy of the Good Shepherd, or is he going to be around forever? Is he going to reign forever? Is there anybody that can overthrow him? Is he actually supreme? That's what we want to look at this morning. And then what happens if you do reject Jesus Christ? What happens in that case? We'll answer those this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the song that we just heard. What a blessing that it was. The truths that are in that song, Lord, we thank you for being able to sing to you this morning. We pray, Father, for those who are away from us in our church family. We pray that you'd watch over them and bring them back to us safely. Lord, we pray for this prayer request that was mentioned by Brother Jacob. We pray that you'd be with his family, those who have lost a loved one. Father, we pray for them this morning. We pray for everyone, all the preachers who are standing up and preaching this morning your word and preaching the truth. Father, we pray for them that you'd be with them, help them as they preach. I pray for the same for me this morning. I pray that you'd help me to say things that are needful and necessary. I pray that people would open up their hearts and minds to the truth of your word, and we'll thank you for it. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The supremacy of the Good Shepherd. Jesus Christ is speaking here to the Pharisees, and it's not really a friendly conversation that he's having, and usually it's not when he talks to the Pharisees. But we'll read from verses 30 down to verse number 42. We read verse 30 last week, but we'll read it again because it goes along with the message this morning. Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you're gods'? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, 'Thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God'? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized. And there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, 'John did no miracle, but all these things that John spake of this man were true.' And many believed on him there." The Pharisees did not believe who Jesus Christ was. They did not believe his testimony. And Jesus Christ is trying to tell them who they are. Then he gives them an argument from the scriptures, which we will get into here in just a few moments. But then he decides that since they are going to try to take him and stone him and they hate him and they're trying to kill him, he's going to leave and he goes to another place. He goes out to Beth Arbora, where John was baptizing, and many believed on him there. But this morning we want to look at the supremacy of the Good Shepherd. I'd like to ask you this morning, when you think, I don't know how many baseball fans we have here this morning, but when you think of the best baseball players of all times, who comes to your mind? Who do you think of? Some might think of, well, it's Babe Ruth from the New York Yankees. That's who I think of when I think of the best baseball players ever. I mean, the top of the line, best. And Babe Ruth probably is one of the best of all times. I mean, he established a lot of batting and actually pitching records as well. He hit 714 home runs, 2,213 RBIs. That's a lot. That's more than anyone, I believe, besides Barry Bonds. And I don't really count Barry Bonds because he was on drugs whenever he hit his. So that's my personal opinion, but you can take it or leave it. Or you think of maybe Willie Mays, the great San Francisco Giant. He's one of only five players in Major Baseball League history with 500 home runs and 3,000 hits. Could be Hank Aaron or maybe the great Nolan Ryan, Texas Rangers pitcher. Boy, he threw a lot of no-hitters. And you think of those baseball players and think, man, that is the top of the line, best baseball players of all times. Those guys, they are supreme. They are the best. But why do you think that? Why do you think those people are so great? Well, you think of that because you think of their stats. You think, well, look at all of the things that they've done and all the things that they've achieved. And they outplayed their opponents and they won the World Series. And they were great achievers and they won many awards. That's why I think that they're so great. That's why they're supreme. And that's why we know that they're the best baseball players of all time. Who do you think of when you think of supremacy in the human realm? When you think of religious leaders, who do you think of as being supreme this morning? Is Jesus Christ the supreme being of the universe? Is that who he is? Does Jesus Christ claim that title for himself as being supreme, superior? And do the scriptures also teach this doctrine that Jesus Christ is actually supreme? I believe that they do. And that's a doctrine that's taught in the Bible, the doctrine of the supremacy of Jesus Christ. What do we mean when we say that Jesus Christ is supreme? That he is the best. We say that Jesus Christ is superior to all others in authority, in power, and in status. That's what we say about Jesus Christ. That he is better or more superior than anyone else. And he himself said, I and my Father are one. Who would dare make such a claim? I am on equal grounds with God. That's what Jesus Christ said about himself. And the Pharisees denied that. They said, he is not supreme. He is not superior. He is not on equal grounds with God the Father. And they ignored everything that told him that he was supreme and that he was superior. They said, we're not going to listen to what you have to say. So what if you say you and in the Father are one? We're going to stone you for that. That's blasphemy. And we don't care that you've opened up the eyes of the blind and that you've raised the dead and that you've done all of these great works. So what? We don't believe it. We don't believe that you're supreme. We don't believe that you're God. And they went one step further and they said, we're going to kill you for the things that you've been saying. You say that you're God and that God is your Father and that you are actually the Son of God. Get him. We're going to stone him. No way we're going to let this man live. Can I say this morning that the Pharisees were willingly ignorant? Yes, sir. They had hardened their hearts to the truth and they were in a state of severe unbelief. They had gone pretty much past the point of being able to turn around. Because you can watch a man and his eyes have been healed of blindness and they're still going to reject Jesus Christ. They're still going to reject his claims. And Jesus Christ had given them plenty of chances to believe. Amen. It's not like they didn't have a chance. No, they had a chance to believe, but they would not believe because they were not of the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. They didn't want to believe. So they said, you know what we're going to do? Since we don't like who Jesus Christ is and we don't like what he's saying, we're going to nullify what he has to say by just not believing what he says and what we see. They're going to deny reality. They say, well, our unbelief will nullify all of this. We're going to overthrow him. We're going to overthrow his supremacy and his kingship, and we're just going to get rid of him. Let's just stone Jesus Christ and let's just get rid of him and overthrow his ministry. We don't like the fact that he claims to be the Son of God. People are still trying to do that today. They're trying to overthrow the supremacy of Jesus Christ. They're saying, well, I just won't believe it. I mean, I know that the Bible says that it's true and it can be proven that it's true and that Jesus Christ said that he was the Son of God, but I'm just not going to believe it. I'm going to ignore everything that's being said, and that'll nullify it. That'll take care of it. Just unbelief. I won't believe it. They're trying to silence the Christians. All right, just take their Bibles away, and in the past they persecuted them, and let's just kill the Christians, and that way it'll shut them up, and that way Jesus Christ won't be supreme anymore, and he won't be the Savior anymore. It'll all go away. Doing the same thing. There's always been a war against God. You read Psalm chapter number 2. The rulers of the world have taken counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ. Amen. You know what God's response was to that? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and y'all perish in the way. You better pay attention to Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I have made him my Son. Is he ever going to be overthrown? As time marches on and as people get more wicked and society gets more wicked, can they overthrow Jesus Christ? Can they get rid of him? Well, they've tried to. They tried to get rid of the Bible. They just can't do it. So this morning, I want to show you three reasons why the Good Shepherd is never going to be overthrown. He will never be dethroned. The first one is this, is simply because of his supremacy. He is supreme. He's just that good. He's just that good. He says in verse number 31, he says, I and my Father are one. He says, I am on equal grounds with God the Father. I am equal with God. I and my Father are one. He goes on in verse number 32. He says, many good works have I showed you from the Father. Why? Which one of those good works are you going to stone me for? Was it because I healed the blind man? Was it because I did these other things? Which one of those are you going to stone me for? They're all good works. Would you stone a man for healing him of his blindness? Jesus poses a question to him. Why? And he says in verse number 37 and 38, he says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. He says, if I wasn't doing these miracles, okay, don't believe me. He says, but if I do, then though you believe me not, at least believe the works. You can't deny the works. You can't deny what I've done. He says, believe me, the Father's in me and I in him. And they said, no, we're going to stone you simply because you said that you were the Son of God. They know exactly what he's saying. They said, that's blasphemy. For a man to claim that he is on equal grounds with God, they know what he's claiming. And it says they took up stones again to stone him. He's been in this confrontation before. Yes, sir. John chapter number 8, verses 58 and 59, Jesus Christ says, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to stone him. They were going to stone him. So Jesus Christ proved his supremacy by his words and by his works. He proved that he was God, and that he was enabled by God and empowered by God to do the things that he was doing, and they you can't deny that. The ministry, the sacrifice, and the rulership of Jesus Christ is never going to be overthrown. They never will. I don't care what people say, what they try to do, whether they don't believe him or not, whether they try to get rid of the Bible, it will never be overthrown for one couple of simple reasons here. For number one, his kingship and his rulership has no expiration date. There is no expiration date on his rule. Now, even though Jesus Christ has not set up his visible kingdom here in Jerusalem, his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. It will never end. It's not going to end. We find in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 7, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. His kingdom is never going to end. It says, from henceforth forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is going to do this. And there's none of us that can stop him. There is no expiration date on his kingdom. When Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, came to Mary, the Virgin Mary, in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 33, he said to her, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. It's never going to end. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. No time restraints. It goes on out into eternity. There is no restraint to his power. No one can stop God. No one can stop Jesus Christ. He has unlimited power. That's the kind of God that we serve. Right before Jesus Christ left to ascend back to his Father, some of his disciples doubted. There was a lot of them there, and they worshiped Jesus Christ. But there was a lot there who doubted. Do you know what Jesus Christ's response was and what his words of assurance were to his disciples right before he left? He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There is no restraint to my power. It's all been given to me by my Father. You know, that ought to give us great confidence, and it ought to give us great comfort as we go out and we serve the living God, that there is no restraint to the power of God. That's why he is supreme. He has all power. And one of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to Jesus Christ. Even the devil is going to have to bow the knee to Jesus one day and say, yes, Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord. And all of those God haters that have been down through the history and have laughed at God and spit in his face and said, well, he doesn't really exist, and I can do what I want to do, and I can live my life however I want to live. One of these days, they're going to have to bow before Jesus Christ and say, yeah, you're right. You are Lord, and I was wrong. Why? Because the Father has given him a name which is above every name. He has highly exalted him. And if I were in your shoes this morning, I'd just go ahead and bend the knee right now and say, yeah, you are Lord. You are Savior. Yes. Yes. You know, when we bow the knee right now to Jesus Christ, who are we bowing to? Are we bowing to some kind of weak, insignificant, insufficient Savior? Some kind of peasant, some kind of beggar. No, we are bowing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who we're bowing before here this morning. Bible says he's the image of the invisible God. He's the head of the body, the church. That's who Jesus Christ is. That's who we bow before this morning. The Good Shepherd's not going to be overthrown because of his supremacy. There is no other religious leader ever that has ever claimed that or who proved it. No one. They were all failures. They were all sinners, and they're all dead today. But yet there's a battle today. There's a battle today against the supremacy of Jesus Christ. The devil's still after you. He wants to dethrone Jesus Christ in your heart. He wants to make you doubt who Jesus Christ is, doubt his word. That's why Paul the Apostle says, look, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. but against principalities and powers. He's after your faith. He wants you to doubt. Oh, well, he's really not all that great. And I tell you, he's never going to be dethroned because of his supremacy. The Good Shepherd's not going to be overthrown because of his supremacy, but also because of the strength of the Scriptures. The strength of the Scriptures. We find that in verse number 35. The Scriptures cannot be broken. They cannot be broken. Yeah, but it's just another religious book. I don't believe it. Scriptures can't be broken. Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples in verse number 35. And he said, if he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? Jesus poses a question to the Pharisees. He says, Psalm 82, verse number 6, I believe, is the passage that he's quoting here. But Jesus Christ is being accused of blasphemy for claiming that he is the Son of God. But he says, the Scriptures cannot be broken. So he says, hey, Pharisees, take a look inside of your own Scriptures. See what they say. And he gives them a quote from Psalm 82, and he says, it says in your law that you are gods, Pharisees. Now think for a moment. Who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the keepers of the law. They were the ones who taught the law to Israel. They taught the people who was right, what was right and what was wrong based upon the law of God. They were the teachers of the law and the judges of the people. And in the Old Testament, they were called gods with a little g. Why? Because they stood in the place of God and they talked for God. And they told the people what was right and what was wrong from God's word to the people of God. And God was the one who appointed them as the judges of those people. And Jesus says, you're called gods. Now, he wasn't saying that they are deity. In a poetic sense, they were gods, mind you. Not that they were Almighty God, but they stood in the place of God. They're called gods, ministers of the Old Testament. And Jesus says, look, I came from God, and I'm bearing witness to the truth of God. And you're going to call me a blasphemer for saying I am the Son of God, and I have the works to back it up that I am the Son of God. How dare you say those things to me when your own Scriptures call you God? The Scriptures cannot be broken. Even Nicodemus noticed this. He said, we know that you're a teacher come from God. We noticed something about you. Because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Right. And there are the Pharisees Jesus Christ is talking to. And they have a problem with him calling himself the Son of God when they are called gods in their own Scriptures. So in effect, what he's saying is, look, your own Scriptures give me the authority to call myself the Son of God, and the Scriptures are infallible. The Scriptures are inerrant. Right. You're going to deny your own Scriptures? You can't do that. Jesus Christ will never be overthrown because the Scriptures are infallible, and they are inerrant. Amen. Everything that the Scriptures have to say about Jesus Christ took place. I don't know how many prophecies there are in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ and what it said about him, where he would be born, how he would be crucified, how he would die, who would do it. All of those things were prophesied in the Old Testament, and here comes the New Testament and Jesus Christ. I challenge you. Read the Gospels and you'll see how many times it says it was fulfilled in the Scriptures. It was fulfilled in the Scriptures every time. All of those prophecies came through about Jesus Christ. But just like the Pharisees of that time, people today want to disregard the miraculous. Oh, well, he's just a good teacher. All those legends in there about him healing the sick and raising the dead and him dying on the cross for our sins and being raised from the dead. I mean, I can believe that, you know, he was a good teacher, but you know, I'm not going to believe all the miraculous. Disregard the scriptures. Scriptures cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. There's an interesting relic of Thomas Jefferson. He's got a copy of the New Testament. Or he had a copy of the New Testament. He's dead now. For some reason, I don't understand exactly why he did this, but he had gone through the Gospels and he had marked out all of the miraculous things about Jesus Christ, all of his miracles, how he raised the dead. He marked it all out, pinned it all out. He marked out things that were about Jesus Christ and his deity, everything supernatural. He marked it out. He had some kind of project going on. I don't understand why he was going to do it, but they said in his Bible, when you get down to the end of Matthew, it reads like this: "And he rolled the great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed." That's how the gospel ends. Do you know if Jesus Christ would not have been who he said he was, if he had not been the actual Son of God, if he had not done all those miracles, that's how the gospel would have ended. He would have just stayed in the tomb. Amen. Somebody would have rolled the stone over the tomb, and he would have stayed in the tomb, and he would not come out. Do you know that's the way unsaved people view the Bible? They just think, well, he's still dead. He never rose from the dead, and they try to discard the scriptures, try to just throw the scriptures away, but the scriptures cannot be broken. Everything that the scriptures say about Jesus Christ is true. And Jesus Christ came and he says, "I came not to break the law, but to fulfill the law." That's why he came. Scriptures can't be broken. A lot of people have tried to do that, tried to discard it. Well, I'm just going to discard the scripture. You know what? They're betting their entire souls that the Bible's not true. You know what the problem is? Authority.
Yes, sir.
Authority. I don't want someone telling me what to do. I'm going to live my life the way that I want to, and no one is going to tell me what to do. And I'm going to discard the Bible. Losing their entire soul because they don't want to believe it. Not true. Scriptures can't be broken. I don't care if society says, well, this is an old antiquated book and it's just old, irrelevant, we don't need to pay attention to that. You're a fool. You are a fool. Fools disbelieve Jesus Christ. Fools will reject the scriptures. They cannot be broken, and he will never be dethroned. He will never be overthrown because of the scriptures. And he's going to come back one of these days. The Pharisees disbelieved Jesus Christ, and where did they wind up? They wound up in hell. That's where they wound up. They disbelieved him. The Good Shepherd's not going to be overthrown because of the strength of the scriptures, but not only that, because of the sickness and the weakness of sinners. That's why he's not going to be overthrown. Now here's the Pharisees, and they hate Jesus Christ. They hate his testimony, and they said, because of that, we're coming after you. We're coming after you, and we're going to stone you, and we're going to kill you. And they wanted to take him right then and there. We're going to take you. That's not the first time the Pharisees have tried to take Jesus Christ. They tried to take him in John chapter 7, verse 29 to 30. Jesus Christ said that I came from my Father. And here come the Pharisees, tried to take him. You know what happened? He slipped out of their hands. You know why? His time was not yet come. It's not in your power, sinner, to take Jesus Christ. He decides when he's going to be taken. Jesus Christ is not like the sick sinners of today. He's not like the weak sinners of today. And the Pharisees had a problem. They were sick with sin. Their problem was their heart had been overtaken with pride, and it was driving them to take an innocent life, the very Son of God, they were going to take him. And they thought they were. They thought they had it under control. They were overtaken by all of this. They were sick. Sick. They were weak. They thought they were in control of everything. They thought they could take the Son of God, but there was absolutely nothing that they could do. They thought they were in control of it all. But you know who was in control? God was in control. Nobody's going to dethrone Jesus Christ. Not some sick sinner. Sick with sin. Not some weakling. Not anyone. Their weakness had limited them to what God had planned to do. God had a plan for Jesus Christ to die. And there was a time frame for when He would die. God the Father knew exactly the moment that Jesus Christ needed to die. And the Pharisees weren't going to overthrow that. Amen. They weren't going to come in and say, well, it's time now. No, it's not time. It's not time. Nobody's going to overthrow that. And it's not going to happen a minute sooner or a minute later than when I want it to happen. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. That Jesus Christ was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Amen. Did you know that God determined in His everlasting counsel when Jesus Christ would die and His foreknowledge? He knew exactly when He would die. And no little Pharisee is going to overthrow that. No Pharisee is going to take Jesus Christ when we're not supposed to. No one. He's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and no man is going to stop Jesus Christ from doing what He was determined to do. Your unbelief does not thwart the power or the plans of God. Amen. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35 says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? No one. Isn't that awesome? To know that you serve a God like that? Puny humans on the earth think, boy, we can do it. We can overthrow God. Who was that philosopher that said God was dead? It was Nietzsche, something like that, said God is dead. He's in hell right now, burning. God has complete and total rule and reign over the entire universe. He governs time and space and matter, and no one can stop Him. Very impressive passage in Isaiah chapter number 45 shows us how God is in control of all things. Israel had rebelled against God. They were breaking His law. And God took a pagan king by the hand and He led him over to Israel and He destroyed that land for the rebellion and for their disobedience. He used a pagan king to do it. And He said, I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, and I create evil. He causes calamity to nations. He says, I, the Lord, do all these things. He gets down there a few more verses and He says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Woe unto him. You're going to rebel against God Almighty? He said, let the potsherd fight with the potsherd. You know what a potsherd is? Broken piece of pottery. He says, you are nothing but a broken piece of pottery. Now go fight with the rest of the broken pieces of pottery, but don't mess with God. Don't mess with me. Don't strive with your maker. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioneth it, why makest thou? Why do you make us like this? No, you're not going to strive with your maker and win and come out on the winning side. The good shepherd's not going to be overthrown because of sick sinners. Some puny human beings are not going to overthrow God. It's coming to pass. What happens if you reject Jesus Christ? We see in conclusion what happens when Jesus Christ is rejected in verse 40 and 40 through 42. Verse 40, the Pharisees had fought against Jesus Christ and they had decided that they wanted to stone Him. And you know what Jesus Christ did? Verse 40 says, and He went away again. He went away again. He walked away. He left. Where is Jesus Christ? Well, he goes to Jerusalem, then he leaves Jerusalem, and he goes to the place where he was before, where John was baptizing. You find that in John chapter 1, verse 29. That's Beth Arbora beyond Jordan. That's where he goes. He goes over there and he finds some people that want him. Finds some people who will believe. And the only thing that the Pharisees saw of Jesus Christ was his backside, walking away. Whenever someone rejects Jesus Christ, he could leave you. He could just walk away. I don't know how many times or how many opportunities that you might have to receive Jesus Christ and believe on him, but if you continue to reject him, you might be the one that sees Jesus Christ walking away. And he won't come back. He might just say, okay, you're going to reject me? Fine. I will leave you to yourself. Go ahead and do it your way. Go ahead and live in your sin. Go ahead and live the way that you want to live. I'll let you do that. That's fine. Go ahead and destroy yourself. We find that in Romans chapter number 1. And he gave them over. And he gave them up. And you know what happened when he gave them up? They destroyed themselves. An individual, a family, a nation that forgets God will destroy themselves each and every time. There are no exceptions. And there's the Pharisees, and they had rejected Jesus. And he said, okay, I'll leave. One time Jesus Christ left them in Matthew chapter number 23, and he says, behold, your house is left to you desolate. And he left. And that was the place they worshiped, is without God, is godless. Their own house of worship was left godless as Jesus Christ walked out. If you reject Jesus Christ, you might have another chance. You might not. You're not guaranteed one, and he's not obligated to give you one. You better take it now. Because you continue to live your life, and your heart is going to get so hard that you won't be able to believe. Well, what about a Christian? Jesus Christ says, I will never leave us nor forsake us. There we see Jesus Christ, and he has preserved himself from the evil intents of the Pharisees. He was able to save himself. Christian, this morning, if Jesus Christ is able to save himself, don't you believe he's able to save you too?
Yes, sir.
I believe that he can. He will deliver us from evil. It says in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to do that. What must we do then? Well, if Jesus Christ is the supreme being of the universe, if he's King of kings and he's Lord of lords, then I'd implore you this morning to submit to him, to believe on him, to submit to his authority, to submit to his lordship. That's what I would tell you to do this morning, because you don't have an option. You must. God commands you to believe. He commands you. Yep, Christians today seem to think that their actions have absolutely no bearing whatsoever. Live however they want to live. It's fine. They believe that they have kicked the Lord off of the throne. They act as though he's not supreme. And what do they have as their supremacy? Well, their own opinions, their feelings, their desires. But you can't remove Jesus Christ as an authority and come out on the winning side. You can't. I'd implore you today to submit to him. The only option that you have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. We thank you, Lord, that you are supreme. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge your testimony in the Scriptures. We acknowledge your testimony that you've given to us in our hearts, that you are, in fact, the King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray that you'd help us to live in light of that fact, to submit to you, to believe upon you, to trust you in everything. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.